Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 4 of Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now this is very hard for us to understand, because we're not used to this kind of language. We know that these figures of the altar and the golden censer and the incense come from the Old Testament sacrificial system that God instituted for the nation of Israel. But we really don't spend all that much time ourselves, because we live in the New Testament era, with those types and figures. And so when we read a passage like this, it doesn't quickly register. It doesn't come to us exactly what God has in mind. And of course, if we were more familiar with these things, we'd probably have a better idea of what God is saying. And so I think it's a good idea for us to try and familiarize ourselves as much as we can with this language of the altar and the incense and so on. The only way we can familiarize ourselves, and that's by reading the Bible and reading what the Bible has to say about these things. Now, just to mention before we go into the Old Testament, the Greek word translated as altar is Strong's number 2379, and it comes from a word that means to kill or sacrifice, and that makes sense. The altar would be a place of sacrifice. But that's one of the things we're hopefully going to learn when we go back to the Old Testament. We're going to find that there are often two altars that are in view, and we have to understand which one is being discussed. And you'll see what I mean. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 30. And we'll read in verse 1, and I'm going to read several verses here in Exodus 30. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it by the 2 corners thereof. Upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before Jehovah throughout your generations. He shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering. Neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto Jehovah. All right, now let's consider what we learn from this passage. This is an altar that incense was to be burned upon, and it was an altar of shittim wood that was overlaid with pure gold. The location of this altar, according to Exodus 30, verse 6, it was to be before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat. So the altar was located there. And notice also that God, in verse 9, says, "You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon." This golden offer was especially for incense, and once a year, Aaron, the high priest, was permitted to enter in with the blood of the sin offering of atonements, and he could offer that once a year. But otherwise, this altar was not for burnt offering, it was not for meat offering, and it was not for drink offering. And that means there had to be another altar, and there was, in Exodus chapter 38. And it says in the first couple of verses in Exodus 38, "And he made the altar of burnt offering," this is the altar of burnt offering, "of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass." Now, this is describing the altar of burnt offering. The altar of incense was overlaid with pure gold. This altar is overlaid with brass. And we need to keep that in mind, that there are these two different altars. And sometimes God just refers to an altar, and it's up to us to determine, well, is it the brazen altar, or is it the golden altar? And God normally does give information, additional information that will help us determine that. Now, in Exodus 39, we read in verses 38 and 39, of these two altars are spoken of together in Exodus 39, verse 38, "And the golden altar and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the tabernacle door." And then verse 39, "The brazen altar and his grate of brass, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot." So here God is just describing the various items that are involved with the tabernacle worship and sacrifice. And he's talking of both of these altars. In Exodus 40, we read beginning in verse 4, "And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense." And this is very consistent. When we see the golden altar, we can know that is for the incense. "Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle." And again, the location is before the ark, and it's a golden altar involved with incense, and that is its location before the ark. And then in verse 6, "And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering." Now, remember what God said about the golden altar. It is not for burnt offering. Therefore, the altar of burnt offering must be the brazen altar. And it is. And here, we find that it has also its own location. Thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. So that altar is at a different location than the golden altar. The brazen altar is before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And there they could slay the animals. They can offer burnt offering upon that altar that was not to be done inside the Holy of Holies, where the golden altar for incense was located. Well, it also in Exodus 40 in verse 26 and following, it says, and he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon as Jehovah commanded Moses. And in verse 29, and he put the altar of burnt offering, and let's just remind ourselves again, this is a different altar. He put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering as Jehovah commanded Moses. So we are seeing that God is consistent concerning the type of altar. One is golden, one is brazen. Concerning what is put on that altar, the golden altar receives the incense, the brazen altar receives the burnt offerings. And the location, one by the veil, one is by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And so these things are consistent. Now, when we go to the next book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, if we would read this book, we would find the altar mentioned repeatedly, again and again. God is making reference to the altar. In chapter 1 alone, there are 13 references to altar in Leviticus chapter 1. And once we find the clue language, we can determine which altar is in view. And we could do this, I haven't done it for every reference, but for certainly the majority of references of altar, we can determine which altar is in view, and maybe for all of them. But in Leviticus 1, we can know that all 13 references are referring to the same altar. As it says in Leviticus 1, in verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him, and he shall kill the bullock before Jehovah, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar. That is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, which altar is that? That would be the brazen altar for burnt offering. And in verse 6, he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar. To be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. Again, we know the altar in view is the brazen altar, and that actually continues for all 13 references in Leviticus 1 and into Leviticus chapter 2 and so on. Actually, I think as I made a quick survey, I think this is true, that the altar that is mentioned up until Leviticus chapter 16 is the brazen altar for burnt offering. And then in Leviticus 16, we read of the golden altar. In Leviticus 16, and I'll start reading in verse 11, it says there, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Jehovah, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Now, Aaron's going within the veil, and we know, well, which altar is there? That would be the golden altar. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before Jehovah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. And this is describing the Day of Atonement. And we read back in the book of Exodus how once a year there was to be atonement and there was to be incense offered by the high priest and in going into that altar, the golden altar. So it helps us to realize that every time we find the word altar, it is not necessarily referring to the same altar. And it could either be the brazen or the golden altar. It could either be for a burnt offering that is offered or incense. Now in Revelation 8, we're reading of incense. And also we read that when this other angel, and this angel would be pointing to Jesus himself, and he's a messenger of the covenant, when he came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So this is indicating that it's picking up of the figure of the altar that was by the Ark of the Covenant. And the ark was inside the Holy of Holies, and where incense was to be offered. And especially on that one day, the Day of Atonement in the year in which the high priest was to approach the ark and to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And so God is picking up that particular figure in the book of Revelation. Now, I'd like to go also in the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 16, because there's an interesting account there that relates to the altar and the burning of incense, and it also relates to the judgment of God upon the churches and congregations, upon those that are profess Christians, but are not true believers. They're not born again. In Numbers 16, we read in verses 6 and 7 of Korah, it says, "This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before Jehovah tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Jehovah doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." Now this is picking up in a discussion where at this point in time, Israel has come out of Egypt and they have entered into a period of severe trial and testing by God as they have gone into the wilderness, and things are not easy for them at all. They're extremely difficult. At first, it was great joy. I'm sure we can gather that when they came out of Egypt from bondage, from cruel bondage and slavery, and certainly they would have experienced a great joy and relief that finally that time of bondage was over. But it didn't last long at all before the hot sun began to wear on them, and the fact that God was leading them in a long journey to the promised land, this began to try them. And God was intentionally trying them because he knew what was in their hearts. He knew that even though they came out of physical bondage, that the overwhelming vast majority of Israelites were still in spiritual bondage to sin and Satan. And so he developed a severe trial for them. And they failed these trials that God had put in their path repeatedly. And in this case, Korah and these Levites began to think that Moses and Aaron took too much upon themselves. After all, they said, all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And so God allowed Moses to present this test where they would take censers and put fire therein and incense in them and come before Jehovah. Now remember what God said back in Exodus, that no strange incense was to be presented, no burnt offering and no meat offering or drink offering, and also no strange incense was to come upon that altar. And so these men were going to try it. They were going to put incense on and come before the Lord. Well, of course, we know it didn't go well at all. In Numbers 16, verse 16, it says, and Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before Jehovah, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before Jehovah every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And here there's 250 men who are going to take their censers and put fire and so on. And it's significant to note that 250 breaks down to 5 times 5 times 10. 5 times 5 is 25, and then times 10 would be 250 men that are going to take censers and put incense before Jehovah. Now that's significant because the number 5, if it has spiritual meaning, and it does, relate to the atonement, to the atoning work of Christ. And we saw that the golden altar had a lot to do with the Day of Atonement, as the high priest only once a year was to enter in and offer that incense and the blood upon the mercy seat. Well, now these men, they're saying that they can do this, that it's not only for Aaron and the priest, but they're holy too, and so they can perform this task. And so God, in the number of the men, is also emphasizing, yes, this has much to do with the atonement, the complete atonement, because the Lord Jesus is the one who is typified by Aaron and the high priest of Israel, who offered the pure incense, the only acceptable incense. All other incense would be as strange incense. When the Lord Jesus offered up himself and his life, the blood typifies the life from the foundation of the world for the sake of his elect. That is the burn offering, and the altar of the burn offering typifies that, as well as the offering of incense once a year, and as the high priest went in to offer incense on the Day of Atonement. And so God, in using this number 250, is pointing to the completeness of the atoning work of Christ, and any other attempted work of atonement is not acceptable, is not going to be received well at all by God. And that's exactly what happens, as to quench this rebellion. First of all, God brings about an earthquake that swallows up Kohath and Dathan and Abiram and so forth. And then we read of the 250 men in verse 35 of Numbers chapter 16. And there came out a fire from Jehovah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Fire fell from God and consumed not the incense, but the men that offered the incense, indicating God's wrath upon them, indicating that they had offered strange fire before the Lord or strange incense before him. And they had approached unto the golden altar where they were not permitted to come before the ark of God. And so God did pour out his wrath and destroy these men. Now, let's read also from Numbers 16 and verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of Jehovah." Now, you would think that the congregation of Israel would see that some new thing had happened, as God had opened up the ground and swallowed up those wicked men, and that the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the 250 men that dared to offer incense when they should not have, and that the congregation of Israel, after witnessing this, would have fallen on their face and cried to God for mercy. "Have mercy, O Lord. We're rebels. We have sinned against thee, and forgive us." But no, they murmur all the more. They telling Moses and Aaron, "You have killed the people of Jehovah." These men were men of renown. They were famous in the congregation. They were men looked up to by these Jews, and they're blaming Moses and Aaron. It is nothing but blindness that they cannot see the hand of God at work in bringing about this judgment. And that's why these Israelites typify those that profess to be God's people, but in reality are not. Well, then in verse 44, and I'll read from 44 through the end of the chapter of Numbers 16, "And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense." Now notice again that Aaron is taking a censer and putting fire from the altar and putting on incense. That's exactly what the 250 men did. And then it goes on to say in the middle of verse 46, "And go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from Jehovah. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." And here we see that Aaron is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he takes a censer, puts fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense and made an atonement for them. And this prevented the plague from destroying the entire congregation of Israel. Well, God gives us an interesting number here, and there's a few more things we'd like to look at before we move on from this, but we have run out of time tonight. So, Lord willing, in our next study, we'll come back to Numbers 16.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Pal Talk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.